back to the Jeff Porter Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Want to be in touch with the show? 251-343-0106. Got a long way to go, but happy to field questions or comments or suggestions or whatever is on your mind. Will Hampson coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. He is our Tuesday regular. Joining us now, and we're within that month window of the August 11th Republican primary. But one of the candidates in the 1st Congressional District, Jerry Carl, joins us here on the line. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. I'm doing great. I hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Thank you for coming on. You're a busy man. We always appreciate your time. How's the campaign going?
The campaign's looking very, very positive. Our message is getting out. We were in Escambia County, Gulf Shores, and Fulmington yesterday, just three stops. So today we're... Today's a down day. We're actually traveling to D.C. if we can get out of Pensacola, obviously, with the storm. But it's looking very positive. We're very encouraged from what we're seeing.
Well, tell us, what are you hearing on the campaign trail? The world's changed a little bit since I last asked you this question, but if we're talking national politics, it seems to be gas prices in Iran and the Middle East.
That's exactly right. And the Republican Party still sends me a survey that they run every week. And I got it the other day, and that's exactly what's on it is Iran and gas prices. I think people are paying a little bit less attention to the gas prices. I think because they came down. I know they've gone back up because I went to purchase my diesel for my truck, and it was back up to where it was. So we've seen on that, obviously. But Iran, we lost some of my warriors over there, and it's never a good thing. That's one thing about war that obviously is the worst part. But casualties were, that's part of war, unfortunately, but it certainly doesn't get any easier.
Well, and I guess there's this fear of like a mission creep, or how much is enough? How do we get close to being done with this? Do you sense an impatience, or is it it's mixed for my listeners? There is a little bit of an impatience, and the others are like, hey, this is important enough, we believe, because we don't want a nuclear weapon. Our nuclear arm.
Well, not a nuclear weapon. That's the reason we went in there. I think we all get that. What I was getting impatient from people with Trump just keeping to put things. We're going to give them another 2 weeks. We're going to give them another week. We're going to give them a month to work it out. I think people were getting more impatient with that. Now that they're actually seeing some results, I feel like there's almost a positive. Something positive coming from that. So I said it on your show probably 3-4 months ago, the only way that's going to resolve itself over there is going to be boots on the ground, not by us, but by UAE, by the Saudis, by the other countries around it going in and cleaning up. And I still believe that. And I think they will do it.
Do you think that's in the realm of possibilities
if you've got those countries dropping bombs, why would they not?
Right.
Well, it's going to be a very unpopular war if we send boots on the ground into Iran. I'll tell you that. Be very unpopular, and I'm sure the president is watching the elections as much as anybody. So if we could get the Saudis to police them their own stuff. Saudi's been doing the bombing too now. We're not the only ones dropping bombs.
Well, they seem to be relying on us, UAE, Kuwait. I mean, that's just a reality that they, let the U.S. do the heavy lifting. How do you transfer that responsibility, or at least the perception that it's now their responsibility?
I don't know how you transfer it other than just telling them you need to get it done. You need to take care of it yourself. I mean, they understand those deserts better than we do. I mean, that's jungle warfare when you start fighting you know, those folks on their own turf, and nobody knows it better than the Saudis. So I'm all for the Saudis going in there and doing cleanup. That's the only way it's going to get done, because you can't, I mean, they're like rats. You can't get rid of them unless you get rid of all of them.
Well, they're going to expect, I guess, help from the United States. How much should we be involved?
So we've been involved with the Saudis most all of my life. And we have built the Saudi Air Force. And we've been doing, I know when I was in the early 80s, I was doing business in the healthcare field, and we were shipping things to the Saudis. So we have been involved heavily with Saudi Arabia. So, and I'm sure you got some listeners there who can tell you more stories about other countries over there that we're involved with. So, you know, they're flying our technology and using our technology.
Well, tell me this, how much should we trust the Saudis?
Trust but verify. I don't think it's a matter of trust. If they're equally as worried about Iran as I think they are, which is the same as we are, I mean, they've got as much to win or lose as we do. So, you know, we've got to encourage them to be boots on the ground. I know that's when I told you that 4 months ago, you kind of snickered at it, and I said that was the answer to it. I didn't say it was going to happen, but I truly believe now at this point they're going to play a role in that.
Well, I mean, I don't know where it goes from here. And I, you know, tell me this, and I don't, you know, think it necessarily pertains to AL1, but as far as Republicans, and Republicans got a really good hand here, better than they have in previous midterms with a Republican in the White House. But how much is this going to impact the November 3rd elections?
Well, the one thing that's going to impact November 3rd elections is going to be fuel prices and the cost of living. That's what the president obviously is trying to focus on. But we can't bring the fuel prices down until we figure out how to adjust, you know, adjust from the war. Now, can we stay in that war and still adjust fuel prices? Yes, I believe we can. But I'm not the one to figure that out. The president's got to find somebody that can figure that out, show him how to do it. But it's going to impact the election. It has to. But I don't know how much of a factor it will actually play this round, Jeff. I mean, it's got to a point where nobody's trusting the fuel companies. It's almost like price fixing that, you know, I keep hearing that coming up in some of the conversations I'm having is, you know, people are going, why does it go up 40 cents a gallon overnight, but it only comes down two cents when the price comes back down per barrel? You know, I think that's one thing that that Congress needs to look at.
Yeah, and well,
you know, is it price fixing?
Is there what does Congress have the ability to do? You know, we tried price controls in the past, and what to happen? You've lined.
I don't want price controls. I just want the petroleum industry to know that we're looking. I want them to understand that we're not stupid. We're willing to look. We're willing to ask questions. If we had a hurricane here tomorrow and prices of fuel went up 40 cents a gallon, there'd be some people going to jail. If they're doing it based on that war, I understand what they're buying on the open market. I understand that if they have to spend more, they have to charge more. But when the price comes down, why does it not automatically transfer back? I think those are some hard questions. If we ask, they'll quit playing with the fuel prices.
Well, and sometimes it's the retailers trying to cushion the blow, right? Did they see something going on? And they know that next shipment's going to come in, but it's going to come in at a slightly higher price. Well, they just react accordingly, and they look across the street, and the guy across the street's doing the same thing. I mean, it seems like that there's just a tendency to move it up, but moving it down is a whole different discussion. And, you know, there are benefits to having the cheapest gas in town. The Buc-ee's of the world, I mean, they make money off of doing that. But the reason it comes slow, it's just a matter of, hey, you guys need to be very judicious here with your increases and equally judicious with your decreases.
But I think they need to know that we're watching. I think that's the key right there. Will you find anything? Probably not. Nothing you can hang a hat on. But if they know you're watching, that's important.
Just know someone's on the beat, kind of watching it. We're joined by Jerry Carl here on the program. Congressman, immigration still, that was always like in the election cycle prior to, you know, the war getting underway. It still was immigration, despite Donald Trump, and he's done a lot here, had a lot of success. Are you still hearing that out there?
Yes. You know, everyone's still worried about the immigration, the issue. I think we as Congress have got to face that issue and come up with a better immigration policy, something that's more suitable for this country, works better for this country. I don't think we need to be letting some of these countries that we have real issues with and let their people in to shut them out. You know, it's not a given that they get citizenship or entry into this country. We need to make them understand there's value to it. And good behavior is what we're looking for. So that will continue to be an issue. I mean, you check back in political history, you'll see that's always been an issue. But you also see that where your Congress and Senate are very slow to react, very slow to respond, especially when you talk about, you know, communities like New York, you know, where you've got a lot of immigrants there. Those have a tendency of moving a little slower here in the South. It's not near as prevalent. So we're pretty quick to say, shut it down. But that is an issue in the field. There's no doubt about it, Jeff.
The question from a texter here, and there's some movement afoot to expand the length, I guess, for an H-2A visa. And this supposedly in the farm bill, whereas the current H-2A visa is good for 9 months, expanding it to 3 years. I don't know how in the weeds or how much you've been paying attention to that, but is there something structurally that needs to be done there, I guess, with some of this temporary?
I disagree with that. I can't go along with the 3 years. I think 9 months works fine in my mind. I know our farm community in some of our high tech industry, well, the farm community probably wouldn't disagree with me as long as they had access to more. You know, they're having to judge a year out, year and a half out of how many that they need. You know, if they say 8 and they have a good season, they actually need 12. They can't just pick up 4. And the high tech industry, the tech industry, you know, they want the 3 years. I understand what they're looking for, and I want those jobs to be filled by Americans personally. So I'm not real big fan of the 3 year idea.
Yeah, well, it seems to have some support on the Republican side, but this issue, it's maybe not as quite where it was during Biden's era, but it does seem like there's been some progress made.
Well, I would be interested to hear the debate on that. You know, I'm always open to listen to a debate. Doesn't mean that my mind's shut down by no means, but just the idea of 3 years. No, I'd rather focus again on getting those jobs in American hands, those high tech jobs, especially.
Last question. We'll wind it down on this. This latest iteration of the Mobile Bay Bridge. Baseline toll is $7.70, but Alabama Department of Transportation is going to try to create some workarounds for local commuters. How you feel about it?
You know, I've never been for the toll. I know I get trashed on Facebook saying that I was for the toll. I've never been for the toll. I'm still against the toll. I think we've got to continue to work to figure out if we can come up with a way to get around the toll. I'll never give up talking to Trump or Secretary Duffy about more money, more help. I think, again, it's a national security. I've been saying that from the very beginning. I think it should be viewed that way. I don't think we've, we may have made a strong enough case. I don't know what the conversations have been with the president, but I would like to have that conversation with him because I want to paint the picture of, you know, what could happen, and I don't want to talk about it on the airways, but what could happen as far as national security if we were to, you know, have, you know, a major catastrophe in the tunnel. So I think they need to hear that story. I think they need to hear paint that picture for them so they understand better why we need help with that bridge. Then the Bayway is going to be another issue. You know, they're going to turn right around and try to do something with the Bayway. The bridge is not going to do much good unless we can get people across the Bayway. So, you know, the tunnel's a problem, but the Bayway's a problem too.
Well, it just, I mean, no matter what, if they started tomorrow, it still seems like a 10, 20 year project.
Yeah, we got to start.
Yeah.
We got to start. You're talking, you know, the bridge itself, I think they've got it down to 5 years. They're talking about 5 years. In government time, that means 8 to 9 years. You know, we never fall within budget, within time frame. Government doesn't, but we'll see. I mean, the president's been so helpful. He cut back on a lot of regulations, and we're so thankful for that. Let's don't be ungrateful for what we've received so far, but I still think there's more that can be done.
Well, Congressman, you're always very generous with your time. We'll get you on one more time before you go vote, or we go vote, but thanks for hopping on today.
August 11th, Jeff, I would appreciate everyone please getting out and vote. It's going to be a very low turnout, so I need as many people as I can possibly get to turn out and vote.
Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Kind of making small talk, killing time, flirting with the flight attendant.